What's up? It's me, Max Chair, and you're listening to Video Now. Now, thanks for listening. So I'm smoking on some of that Brownie Scout, and this shit is so fucking strong that I can't. You can hear me coughing. I can't really smoke it. I mean, I can smoke it, but only a little bit. I can't be smoking too much of it. So. Yeah, today I got like real bad smoker's lung. I left the office for a little bit. So I was having kind of a weird time, kind of a weird day today, as usual. Shitty fucking day. So I left and I was cruising around, and then I just felt it on the left side, and my left lung just started hurting. I even feel it a little bit now in my back, like the back of my lung. I thought it was my back, but I think it's my lungs. I think it's my smoker's lung. So I'm really going to be cutting back. This is still going to be a podcast. Don't worry. But I need to save money. I need to save my health. And I just can't be smoking a lot at all. So I'm going to bring my smoking down to a minimum. I was just on that kind of side note. I just heard this song. From Hotels, Motels, it's the deluxe version by Jasmine Sullivan, or Jasmine Sullivan, which got named the album of the year, actually. Not the deluxe version, just the regular version. Got named album of the year by Pitchfork for last year. And I can see why. It's a really good album. Sort of reminds me of, like, when SZA got album of the year, or, like, she was, like, number two or three, kind of surprisingly, even though the album didn't get, like, I mean, it got, like, a strong review, but it wasn't, like, great. It wasn't like over 9 or something. And actually, Big Thief got another 9 from them. And I'm not into Big Thief, but I think I already talked about that on here. So anyway, I just heard Price Tags featuring Anderson .Paak, who I think I just found out is a drummer from the Super Bowl halftime show. But he also raps on it. I mean, at least I think it's him. I assume it's him. And he ripped off a line of mine, which is blacker than Samuel L. in Pulp Fick. I think that was my line. That was my version. And he said something like, blacker than Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction or something like that. But he ripped off my line. Now, did he hear the song? It's possible. It's possible. See, I had a previous life, previous career as a rapper and a beat maker. And I called myself I Eat Beats. And I even was contacted by somebody down in Atlanta or somewhere, and they wanted me to work on a track for this rapper, but they wanted me to pay. They wanted me to pay like $300 or something. That would have been like the first charge, the first payment or something. I don't know. It was weird. So I was just like, no thanks. I backed out of it. But I was definitely tempted. I mean, I still think about it. I'm still like, I wonder if that was legit. But how could it be legit? And how much could they actually want me if they're charging me to work on a song? And it wasn't like, oh, okay, so yeah, you'll have to fly yourself down here. I mean, it wasn't even like you'll have to put yourself up. It was like, no, you need to pay for this record. I forget what the terminology was, but the whole thing just sounded weird. And there is still part of me that thinks maybe I should have been like, okay, and just gone for it. But I know that it was probably a scam of some sort, and I'm glad I backed out of it. I have been scammed in the past. It hasn't happened many times, but it has happened. It happens to the best of us. And it just, you know, made me even more careful. And I was already a paranoid freak. So now I'm really a paranoid freak. Okay. But I'm also calmer now. Okay. So today's episode is really about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022. Period. Straight up. Now, I still need to see the one Texas Chainsaw, or Texas Chainsaw 3D, as it's also known, from 2013, featuring Alexander Daddario, who, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, I have a crush on her, anyway, you get the point. Now, I don't know if she shows her tits, I still haven't watched it, but she does show her tits in True Detective. Okay. I think in the first first episode, actually. I was like, what? I was like, those titties are huge. Okay, so... I don't even remember what I was saying now, because I'm thinking about those. Oh, yeah, okay, so the new one, no one shows their tits, unfortunately. And the new one, I really don't even know what to say about it. I think overall, I probably thought it was okay. I've kind of been thinking all day, like, how am I going to put this? I could say it was really terrible. I could say it was okay. I don't know. The truth is probably somewhere in between, as it is with many things. But, yeah, I don't know. Okay, so my issues with it were, first of all, total, like, social issues movie, and I'm not going to get into politics, I'm not going to go down that road. But I just think they leaned too much into, as, like, so many movies do now, they just lean way too into the whole kind of, like, millennial thing, which I guess they're calling it now, like, the Gen Z thing. And the whole thing was just way too much. There was a Confederate flag. There's a school shooting subplot. I mean, it's just, it really is ridiculous. The movie is ridiculous, but it's also totally flat, totally boring. Of course they killed the one hot girl in the movie first. She dies first. She was blonde, so I didn't mind seeing the blonde die first, but I minded seeing the hot girl die first, because that's actually not a new thing at all. I mean, nothing in the movie was new. I've noticed in some of these movies they kill, even in that movie that I talked about, Planet of the Dinosaurs, somebody liked my post with that poster from like a few weeks back today. Maybe that's what got me thinking about it, but not about this, but just that movie. But anyway, they killed the hottest girl in that movie first, and I think this might be like a strategy because they don't want, they killed the hot one first. They get you into the movie because you're like, oh, she's hot, and then they kill her. Because they don't want you to be distracted. Now, I thought Eli Roth did well with this in The Green Inferno. With Kirby Bliss, I think is her name. I'm not sure. But she was, well, Lorenzo Izzo is gorgeous. But along with her, she was the hot one. And she actually made it for a while, and she has a spectacular death. Actually, my favorite scene in that whole movie is her death scene. Great character. Great scene. Okay. So, there's that. Yeah, the horror itself, the gore, wasn't great, although there is one shot with this severed head where it rolls onto this kind of, the stairs that lead it up into this bus, which then this scene, this kind of led into the scene that's now kind of like well known as like the Leatherface on the bus scene or on the limo or the tour bus. I don't know what the fuck it was or what it's being called, but it's that scene. And I was thinking, goddamn, like, practical effects have gotten so good. Practical effects really should be used so much more now. Everybody wants to talk about how good digital effects have gotten. Everybody wants digital effects in their movies. Practical effects have gotten so good that it's ridiculous. I literally felt like I was looking at a human head. I thought I was looking at a severed head. It was just like, it looked good, and, like, there might have been, like, digital touch-up and shit, which I hate, but it was, like, a practical head that they rolled onto this stair, and it looked real. It looked good. So, yay for practical effects. There were definitely some practical effects in this, and there was some gore, there was some blood. I like that people could just die in this movie, and you never knew really, who was going to go next? I mean, at the end, I totally called it and totally predicted it, even though now I'm not remembering. Oh, it was the, not the school shooting girl, but the other girl, her sister? Spoiler, she ends up getting killed. I was thinking it at the end, I was like, they're going to kill her, but the other girl they can't kill, because the audience has sympathy for her because she survived the school shooting, which is exactly what happened. They killed the other girl, and they let the school shooting girl live. Okay. So I like that that it was, like, in some ways, like, a proper, not a proper slasher movie, but it did have kind of that formula of, like, killing off the teenagers one by one, which I know is a tired formula, but I love it if it's utilized well. which it wasn't in this movie, but I don't know. For some reason, I like that they utilized it. I like that it, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it didn't feel like a total bullshit horror movie. Like, it did feel this aspect of it where anybody could just die at any moment. That gives the movie a real bite and real sense of danger. And I think you need that for a horror movie. So there was some of that in this. I'm not going to praise it. I'm not going to go too far with it. The whole movie just fell flat for me. And I actually thought it was a bad movie. In a lot of ways. but there were some aspects that were okay. So, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I finished watching the first part of Genius, which the whole thing was like an hour and a half. And really, I didn't even get to the good stuff, like stuff with his mom and everything. Yeah, it gets deep. So keep watching and keep listening. Peace.